is Rumble in the Morning on FM 99.
All right, it's 5 minutes after 6 o'clock. Let's do some news, find out what's going on out in the world. I'm just excited to introduce the Virginia Associated Broadcasters Newscaster of the Year, Shelley, with the news.
And winner of the sex toy spot.
Second place.
Yes.
But still pretty good.
Coming up in the news.
Even when it's bad, it's still pretty good.
Do you have tickets to the gun show? And it's a big birthday for someone who's been in the news a lot lately. I'll tell you about that. News brought to you by Huffman and Huffman. Big insurance companies make billions. And why don't they like paying your claim when you get hurt? Call Huffman and Huffman. They'll get you the cash you deserve. So just a heads up to start, because some people have not claimed it yet. But tomorrow is the deadline, 3 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow. That is it, the deadline for anybody who is supposed to get a stimulus check and has yet to get it.
Oh, really? Wow.
And claim your $1,200.
Yeah.
Remember back in March, Congress passed that CARES Act to help stimulate the economy or whatever. Well, not everybody, particularly those with little to no income, received their payments.
Oh,
the IRS
no.
says anybody who was not required to file a tax return in 2018 and 2019 can register for the economic impact payment by using the non-filers tool before the deadline. It's on their website. Those are the last people who have not received their checks yet. So tomorrow, 3 p.m., that's the deadline. Make sure you go to the website.
All the way from March.
It. I know.
This is out till now.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Remember when they were laying it out and they were like, yeah, some people aren't going to get their money until September, October. Here we are, November. So,
well, they were used. I mean, they were using tracing, and they don't have a way to trace these people because they didn't file tax returns.
Yep. Now, if you had tickets to the gun show, a heads up for you there. This is the big gun show that was scheduled for Dulles International Airport this weekend.
Oh, in Washington.
A Fairfax County judge yesterday blocked the effort by the organizer who was trying to hold this three-day event this weekend. The problem is that it is without a capacity limit.
Right.
And the judge ruled that granting an exemption from the state's coronavirus restrictions would not be in the public's interest.
Mm-hmm.
Showmasters Incorporated is the organizer of the nation's gun show. They argued that the tighter restrictions that went into effect just last weekend would require the cancellation of the event. It would limit the attendance. They argued that the event should count as brick and mortar retail business, which don't have to follow the guidelines because it has gun stores involved. So it's gun stores. This is a brick and mortar retail business, so they shouldn't have to limit attendance. The judge did not agree, citing the coronavirus pandemic when deciding that the exemption would benefit the plaintiffs, but not the general public. Showmasters Inc. confirmed that the gun show has been canceled on their Facebook page.
Aww.
Meanwhile, the CDC put out a new recommendation for Thanksgiving. They recommended Americans not travel during the current spike in coronavirus cases nationwide. The website reads, quote, as cases continue to increase rapidly across the United States, the safest way to celebrate Thanksgiving is to celebrate at home with the people you live with. Travel may increase your chance of getting and spreading COVID-19. Postponing travel and staying home is the best way to protect yourself and others this year. Meanwhile, the Virginia Farm Bureau did the math on this.
Yeah.
How much should you expect to pay for Thanksgiving dinner this year?
All right. I don't even know what this should cost.
Well, they say it's going to cost $6.03 per person attending your dinner.
Well, that sounds reasonable to me.
That's way reasonable.
Yeah.
That's
I'd like to farm shop with them.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's based on the menu featuring turkey, ham, potato, stuffing, and other traditional Thanksgiving favorites, they said.
Sure.
The cost is actually down about $4 from last year. The Virginia Farm Bureau says that despite the ongoing pandemic, Virginia farmers have come through admirably to put food on our tables for the holiday.
Well, Sean, didn't you say you were at the farmer's market not long ago?
Yeah,
it was like, full of stuff, right?
Yeah, a week ago or something.
Yeah,
like
nice,
that.
Yeah. Nice.
And I looked it up online. I think most of the stalls there will work through November. Most of them.
probably work through Thanksgiving. That's probably their big goal.
Yeah, I would assume. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Now, meanwhile, you sent me this story from CBS 5 News, and let me just read you the first line.
Yeah.
Even if you don't want the COVID-19 vaccine, your employer might ask you to get it, and your company can even require it. That is according to an attorney in Scottsdale. That's where that CBS 5 station is located.
So it may be subject to Arizona's laws.
Well,
but this to a larger conversation.
Yeah. The attorney said, quote, if your employer requires it and you don't do it, then it is likely you'll lose your job. They did talk about some exceptions, you know, religious underlying conditions,
right,
et cetera,
right,
et cetera. But they pointed to a doctor who's required to get a flu shot by his employer.
Right.
So it's not unlike that.
We talked to a guy who called here and said he worked at a hospital and that he doesn't get any of these inoculations. And I said, well, you know, I got friends that work down at the hospital and they get a flu shot every year. He says, yeah, they highly recommend it, but it's not mandatory where I work. So it's maybe in the wording.
Yeah, sure. Well, the attorney said he doesn't want to see businesses intervene with employees' health decisions. Yeah. It could be risky for companies. Quote, for example, if anything were to go wrong with the vaccine and someone were to become ill, if their employer had forced them to take the vaccine, then the illness would be a workers' compensation issue where it wouldn't have been if they had just gotten it on their own.
And maybe that's why the words highly recommended were used.
Yeah.
And not mandated. But we do. You got to have shots to put your kid in public school.
Mm-hmm.
That's not optional, as I remember anyway. I'm sure there's an exemption. I mean, there's an exemption for everything. But the by and large general rule is you're getting that measles shot, you know, or you're going to have to make other arrangements.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah. So we'll see if that carries over to this.
Right. Well, we're getting more info on the Dolly Parton vaccine. That's what I've been calling it. She donated $1 million towards developing the Moderna vaccine. And now Stéphane Bancel, the CEO of Moderna, one of the companies developing a COVID-19 vaccine, is warning that the vaccine is not a silver bullet. You'll see why I said his name like that.
It's not a silver bullet. What we need is we need surveillance to be stronger. We need public health measures. Because you have no other way at the beginning, this is your best weapon and you need to use it well. And I think when you look around the world, you have some countries that have done an excellent job, including, of course, China, controlling the virus. Mm-hmm. And you have some countries where it's totally out of control.
Now, he's surprised when he sees people not wearing masks, he said.
And when you still go today, you know, in some places and you see people, you know, going to crowded places with no mask or eating inside restaurants with no mask, I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me. It's like, you're going to get infected. The only question is when.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend who just went to Sweden. She actually half moved there. So she's half living here and half living there.
Yeah.
And she said she is amazed at how nobody wears a mask anywhere in Sweden.
Was Sweden the one that just left it open?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So their result was not particularly any better than anybody else's. It wasn't like, it was the prescribed way to go. The herd immunity thing is not happening.
Yeah.
It's not catching on like they had hoped it would catch on. I remember that part of it. And in Sweden, they did make the older people stay home.
Okay.
They did have some sense of that.
Mm-hmm.
But their rates are not very good. They're not a world leader or anything like that. It wasn't like this was the way to go kind of a thing.
Right, yeah. She was just like, I can't believe she's like coming from here going to there. Sure. She's like, I don't understand. Like, this is so weird.
Oh, and coming from here, and we're not exactly the biggest adherents of this.
That's true.
You know, there are places that are much more buttoned up than we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. Mm-hmm. Now, following a hand recount of ballots in Georgia, President-elect, as they're calling him, Joe Biden maintained a 12,000 vote lead over President Trump. The conclusion of the recount means that Biden is the projected winner of the state, and it's 16 electoral college votes. That, according to the Associated Press, the hand recount of nearly 5 million votes stemmed from an audit required by a new state law that wasn't in response to any suspected problems with the state's results or an official recount request. The state actually had until today to certify the results that have been certified and submitted by counties.
Yeah.
The recount added an additional 5,262 ballots that had gone previously uncounted, representing about 0.1% of the overall vote total. In the recount, Trump added a net of 496 votes, coming still short of cutting into Biden's lead.
All right, because at one time he had a net of 800.
Yeah.
So the rest of the ballots must have added up in Biden's category.
As this count went on, because this is the official results.
Sure.
They said once the results are certified, the losing campaign can then request a recount, which may happen.
Right.
In the meantime, Biden just added one to his age.
He did.
He's 78 as of today.
Oh, it's his birthday.
It is.
Joe.
It's looking now like Biden will be sworn in as the oldest president in the nation's history, displacing Ronald Reagan, who left the White House in 1989 when he was 77 years old. 77 and 349 days.
Oh, they keep track.
Years, 349 days. Yeah. As this report says, Biden's relatively advanced age puts a greater premium on his quality of staff. And we just found out someone who's going to be a new member of his transition team.
Really?
I am on the Biden transition team. President Biden or Vice President Harris ask me to do something in infectious disease, I would accept a position And I would like to take my lifetime of global experience in infectious disease and really work more specifically now that I have this lifetime of understanding.
I would not have recognized the voice or cadence. That is actress Sharon Stone.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
She's a new member of the transition team. She was also asked whether she'd ever work in the government. She worries about that, though, saying,
so far, I have not been asked to be in a public position that I felt that the bureaucracy wouldn't tie my hands and make me do less than I've been able to do. But should I be asked to be in a public position that would allow me to do more, I would do that.
So is she one of these people like a Bill Gates who threw themselves into this work, charity work of some sort, and became extremely knowledgeable in the process? Because I remember Sharon Stone is actually a really bright person.
Sure.
Like,
sure,
like she got one of these crazy high IQs and functions at a very high level. But what charity work did she do?
She worked in the 90s. She became heavily involved in the education and fundraising for HIV and AIDS.
So public health.
Oh, yeah. So that's
public health.
Where she's saying that infectious disease thing.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are a lot of people in the entertainment business who actually sideline. Who's the guy? I want to say it's Skunk Baxter, but I don't know if that's the right name. Who also is an expert on intercontinental ballistic missiles. It's a ridiculous thing. The guy's even testified in front of Congress before.
Wow.
And he saw like a Doobie brother.
Yeah,
by
I'm
day.
Not sure who it is, but
yeah,
wow,
looking,
that's
yeah,
wild.
It comes up, if you look up Skunk Baxter, missile defense comes up.
Yes, there you go. Is that crazy?
Yeah.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Apparently, Sharon Stone and Dr. Fauci are being honored at some kind of research award.
My God, like, there's a pairing. Yeah. There's a pairing. I want to see her do that thing with the skirt again.
Yes.
Just one more time. The basic end, the hey.
What about Fauci?
Hello.
Get him to do it.
That's what she calls it.
Yeah.
Oh. Here, have a look at Fauci.
Meanwhile, with President-elect Joe Biden, if he does become president in January, we'll have a first dog again. And with that, we get this new pet project, a picture book about the Biden family dogs, the German Shepherds, Champ and Major. Dial Books for Young Readers announced yesterday, Champ and Major, first dogs. It'll be published January 19th. The timing is not coincidental there.
No.
Books about White House animals have a long tradition. First Lady Barbara Bush's Millie's book came out, A Day in the Life of the Presidential Dog. Hillary Clinton's Dear Socks, Dear Buddy, about the Clinton's cat Socks and dog Buddy is also a book that's out there.
God, I remember that book.
And now a pet food company in England has created the first Christmas song made just for dogs.
Oh, I love this.
It's their All I Want for Christmas. So what they did was they said they took scientific research and Sharon Stone and a dog focus group where 25 dogs were played more than 500 sounds and their responses were recorded. The data was analyzed and they put together a Christmas song that's specifically made to appeal just to dogs. The song is called Raise the Wolf. It uses a, quote, reggae beat and the sounds of bells, squeaky toys, and owner's instructions to elicit a response from dogs. Early footage of dogs listening to the song shows that they love it. So gather them around the radio. Here we go. Raise the wolf.
Sit. Sit.
Oh, good girl.
Who's this? Who's this?
Would you like to go on walkies?
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I think it's cool.
They didn't have to go with Christmas for that. I mean, I get there's like some bells in there that are Christmassy, I guess, sounding. But proceeds for a limited edition vinyl version of the single will benefit a United Kingdom men's mental health organization.
Nice.
If you're interested in having a copy of Raise the Wolf.
I don't know. I think you can just people are going to do what they normally do, and that's steal it from the internet.
Of course. Yeah.
That's what happened to the Rumble CDs.
Yep.
Quit making those. They just started copying them.
Yep. And then eventually you just toss a couple bucks because you're like,
you know what? Yeah, you owe me.
Yep.
For the charity and what.
Around here today, we got sunny skies, a high in the mid-60s, a southwest wind, 6 to 11 miles per hour. Clear tonight, 49 is your low as we go through the weekend. Sunny both days, highs in the mid to upper 60s. It's looking like a great Mayflower Marathon weekend. Right now, we're at 45 degrees, though, and I am Shelley for Rumble in the Morning on FM 99.